the love challenge. And this is not a marriage message. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And everyone who has ears said, "Amen." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do bow before you and ask your guidance as we look to your word tonight. Speak to us, Lord. Speak through me. Give us understanding. Give us insights from your word that will change us into better servants, better children. Give us insights that will draw us into a closer relationship with you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the opening of chapter 2 here, Jesus, of course, writing to the church at Ephesus, he writes seven letters to seven churches, right? This is the first letter, and as he begins this letter to the church at Ephesus, he has a lot of good things to say, okay? They were doing a lot of things right. That's the first thing I want to point out to you. They were doing a lot of things right. Jesus said, "I know your labor." You know what that word labor means? It means hard work. Jesus said, "I know the hard work that you have put in." And I want to stop right there for just a moment. And I want to praise God for the hardworking membership of Victory. There are people that are doing a good job in this church. There are a lot of people who are doing. Teachers, Awana workers, deacons, and various positions. And you're working hard. And I see that. And I appreciate that. I know you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the glory of God, right? But it's noticeable. Jesus said, "I know your hard work. I know your patience." He's talking about steadfastness there. People that you can count on. That's another thing that we have at Victory. There are people that you can count on. I know that if I'm in need, there are people that would run to my rescue. And I praise God for that. Not only could we count on them just for individual support, but you know, there are people that Sunday after Sunday are here. And that's encouraging to this pastor. I appreciate those faithful members who come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, Awana night. You're always here. God bless you. You're doing a good work. Keep it up. God, Jesus said, "I know that you cannot bear those who are evil, and have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, found them to be liars." Another great fact of Victory is, I know that this church still values the truth of God's Word. That the Bible is the Word of God, it is without error, and it does not need correction from any man. And I appreciate you for that stand. Jesus said, you've not become weary. Keep on keeping on. You know, there are still people in this church that were here on the day this church began. Kept on keeping on. I appreciate that. But Jesus said there is a problem. And that problem, He said, they were doing all the right things, but they were doing it with the wrong hearts. Now, the first thing I want to challenge you to do tonight is consider the reason that we do what we do. Why do we do it? As I said, this passage has been on my heart for the last 2 weeks. And before I preach it to you, I have to preach it to me. Right? And I don't know, this may be pastor confession night. I don't know. But when I came to verse 4 in this text, it was very convicting for me when it said, you've left your first love. You have left your first love. And that's a problem. Literally, it says, the love you at first, you have let go. That's the literal translation. And as I said, it brought conviction because I realized there are a lot of areas in my life I was doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Oh, I was studying to preach. But there has to be more to it than that. I was studying to teach because that's what I was supposed to do. I was coming to church because that's what preachers do. We come to church, right? So you can kind of now see why this got a hold of me. But not only did it convict me, I wondered how many people at Victory Missionary Baptist Church are doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Coming to church because it's church day. Teaching class because you're the teacher. How many are working in Awana because we need Awana workers? And you can apply that to any position within this church. You know what? It's not good enough just to do your job. That's not what God wants. When He says you've left your first love, the love that He's talking about there, He's talking about the passion that goes along with our faith. He's talking about being excited about who we are and what we're doing and what lies ahead for us. When He speaks of love, He talks about that true desire that God, to You be the glory from my every action. That's what we're talking about here. You know? Why are you doing what you do? I had to ask myself that question. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't discouraged. I wasn't. But you know, a couple of weeks ago I talked about getting in a rut. And I realized the reason I talked about getting in a rut because I was in one, right? And I had to back up. I said, this is not good. It's not good. Lord, I want there to be more than just doing what I'm supposed to do. And God expects more than just doing what you're supposed to do. That's why He said, you know, He tells us what to do about it. He said in verse 5, remember, how do you fix that when you're in a rut? How do you fix that when you're just going through the motions? First thing you've got to do is you've got to remember. Remember what, Brother Doug? I'm glad you asked. Remember from where you have fallen. And I chewed on that a little while. And I went back and I remembered when I first surrendered to preach. You know what? I didn't know very much when I first surrendered to preach. About that much. First message I preached was about 15 minutes, I think. We've went beyond that now, haven't we? But you know what? I was excited to preach. I had a passion to preach. I wanted to preach. I didn't know what to say, but I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. I was excited. I had a love for Jesus. And I didn't preach because I had to, because most of the time I didn't have to preach. I was just hoping somebody would ask me to, right? I remembered that. And I backed up and I said, Lord, I want that again. Lord, I want to be excited about preaching again and not preach because I'm supposed to, not preach because I'm the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I want to preach for the glory of God. I want to preach to see lost souls saved. I want to preach to draw the saved closer to you. You see, that's what he's talking about, this church at Ephesus. Oh, they were doing all the right things. They were working hard. But God doesn't want your hard work. He wants your hearts. And tonight, I want to challenge you. Let's don't serve anymore because we're supposed to. Let's don't serve because we have to. Let's don't serve because if we don't do it, nobody else will. Let's serve for the glory of Almighty God. And because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because that the only hope our country and this world has is the salvation that's only available through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's serve for those reasons. Let's be excited. Remember what it was like when you were first saved? How many of you remember that? Oh, glory. You want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ, didn't you? You want to tell everybody, now I was saved. What happened? I don't know, but I asked Jesus to save me and He did. See, you don't have to be a theologian. You just got to have a passion. People are worried about, you know, I hear all the time, I'm afraid, Brother Doug, I'll say something wrong. Listen, they're going to hell. You're not going to mess that up if you're witnessing to a lost person. But it starts with remembering. Remember what it was like. When you were going to church and you were excited about teaching that class. When you were going to church and you were excited about worship and singing. And you were excited about hearing preaching. And you were just excited about Jesus. Remember what that's like? Did you like it? You know, you're the one that controls that. That's what Jesus is saying here. I realize, you know, you get to thinking about that and you think, oh, God hadn't changed. It's me. I'm the one that's changed. God is still as exciting as He ever was. He's still as powerful as He ever was. He'll still save every single individual that calls upon Him. I was the one that moved. You got to remember what it was like. And then he says in verse 5, he says, remember therefore from where you've fallen. And what? We don't use this word in church anymore. Remember from where you've fallen and repent. You know what that word repent? We look at the world and say, y'all need to repent out there. We say people need to repent on occasion. You know? You know what the word means? It means to turn. Go a new direction. Means a change of attitude and a change of action. And you know, that's why I say this heart of love, this passion that I'm talking about, it rests within us. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he told Timothy, who was a young pastor at Ephesus, he said, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Do you realize every once in a while you just got to back up and stir up what God has put in you? You got to get excited again. You got to be happy and look forward to serving the Lord again. But that's your choice. There are a lot of people today who are in church and they're empty. And I want to tell you tonight by the Word of God that it's your own fault if you're empty. You got to stir the gift that God has put within you. You know, the Holy Spirit lives within every believer. And the Holy Spirit is real. Another thing we don't talk about too much. We don't want to get into the Holy Spirit stuff. Right? The Holy Spirit lives within you. Okay? And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not all blue and glum and all. No. This is the Holy Spirit of God. It's where we get our joy. Oh, my friends. Listen. I want you to get this message. It doesn't have to be dull and boring. It's dull and boring because we make it dull and boring. Repent. Go a different direction. Put a smile on your face. Get excited about telling someone about Jesus. Here's my challenge. Homework. If you're excited about homework, say amen. All right. Like that. Homework. Challenge you. This week, determine within yourself, I'm not going to have a blah faith anymore. Okay? We don't have a blah Savior. We don't have a blah God. We don't have a blah Holy Spirit living within us. Determine within yourself, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going a new direction. And in that new direction, here's the challenge. I want you to share that love, that passion with somebody. Okay? I want somebody to be blessed because of you. I'm going to ask you, okay, demonstrate an act of godly love towards somebody else this week. Be deliberate, okay? I'm going to do it, and I'm not, you know, you choose who it is. It might be a family member. It might be a stranger. It might be a visit someone that's homebound. It might be whatever. Give a helping hand to someone. But God will open a door. Okay? And I want you to show that act of love not because Brother Doug gave us an assignment. I want you to show that act of love because God gives you an opportunity to show that act of love. Do it passionately. Don't. Okay. I'll help you this time, but you're on your own after. No. No. Do it passionately. Do it with a smile on your face so that person that you're blessing can see the passion of God living within you. Brother Doug, why are you preaching this on Sunday night? Because the Sunday night crowds, we're the one that needs it. We're the ones that will actually do it, right? Bless somebody. Let them see the passion of God living within you. That's the first part of your assignment. Second part of your assignment. Ready? Two part. I want you to email me. I want you to tell me what you did. And tell me the response of that individual. That's like turning in a homework paper, isn't it? Okay? Doug.Hambrick@yahoo.com. It's my email. Brother Doug, it's none of your business. True, it's none of my business. But I want to tell you why I'm asking you that. There's an accountability there. Okay? I'm going to know who emails me this week and who does not. Those of you watching at home, you participate too. Right? I'm going to know who emails me and who does not. And you can next Sunday, you can say, oh, Brother Doug, I forgot. Don't even come up and tell me I forgot. I don't want to hear it. Right? I love you, but I don't want excuses. Here's why I want to hear. It encourages me. It blesses me to know that the membership of Victory are actively and passionately pursuing the love of God and trying to share that love with other people. Please, send me an email. Tell me what you did. And tell me, more importantly, tell me the response. I want to know the response you get, okay? Like I said, that's an encouragement to this pastor. Beloved, the idea is this. This has been the idea of the whole day. It's time to put the passion back in our faith. Time to be excited once again. I believe the future of Victory is bright. I believe there are a lot of opportunities for us, okay? And I know that God still got us here for a reason. We're here to sow. Right? Okay. I want us to sow. Put it into practice. Let's take it outside these walls. And let's start sowing. You may be here tonight.
And you thought, I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't even know what you're talking about, Brother Doug. Well, let me introduce you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life on the cross of Calvary for your sins so that you could have everlasting life. You see, there's one of two places that you'll spend eternity. It's either heaven or it's hell. There's no in between. And the decision you make in this life will determine where you spend the next life. Are you a child of God? Listen. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the deal is with everybody sitting here tonight? We're all sinners. The difference between one group and the other group is that Jesus has forgiven our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then there are those who are too proud or who are making excuses and haven't received the love of Jesus and the forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Tonight, I want to beg you, please, please, don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Maybe you don't understand. If you don't understand, I'm going to ask you, come up here, let me show you in the Word of God. But when you leave here, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going. You need to know that when this life is over, Jesus has prepared a home for you. And that home is called heaven.